Man, I'd like to welcome each of you this morning. It's so good to see all of you. Glad that you're here with us on this sunny Sunday. I'll absolutely take that today. I know it's not hot out there by any means, but it feels pretty good. So we're thankful that you're here with us this morning. So good to see you. If you're visiting, please just make yourself at home, and you really only get to visit once. After that, you're kind of just one of us. So we're glad you're here with us. And I hope and pray that the Lord will give you something that you need this morning, because if you come here just seeing what I have for you, then you might leave empty-handed. But if you come seeing what the Lord has, He'll fill up your bucket. He'll give you something to take home with you, and I appreciate how He can do that. He can give you what you need when you don't know what that is. It's kind of amazing how that works out. I know there's much to be in prayer about. Sister churches around us, and many in the church that are sick also, and so thankful to see those that have been out. We're thankful to see you back this morning. I know there's several, and much to be in prayer about still. And I do have a couple of announcements. Next Sunday morning, Brother Steve Gregory with Rock of Ages Ministry will be with us, and he will be taking the Sunday school and preaching time. I've had several missionaries reach out to me, and I've tried to space it out, maybe like one per month, kind of something like that, and what have you. So maybe even some on Wednesday nights also, just to kind of spread it out a little bit. But he'll be with us next Sunday. Thankful for that. And then also, just a reminder, on March 2nd, we'll be having our baptism, and just so thankful and looking forward to that. It's been a little while, and I'm excited about it. I thank the Lord for baptism. That's a special time that we can have in the church. And Brother Norman, I meant to tell you, we're in Acts chapter 10. I'll tell you before I tell everybody else. Give him just a second. I always try to give him a running start. Okay, Acts chapter number 10 for everybody else. All right, I meant to tell you that, Brother Norman. Now, just so you get it, before everybody else, it's kind of easy to follow, I think. We've kind of started in Acts chapter number, 8 and 9, and now up to number 10 here. Didn't really start out planned to be this way. Kind of ended up being this way when you have some remarkable accounts that just kind of line up in God's Word like that. Amen. Little Yowie's in. Amen. Amen. That's my buddy right there. He had a big birthday party last week, didn't you? Did you have a birthday? Yes. He had a big birthday last week. That was a good time. Good time. And so we've seen a few different conversions here. And these people had different backgrounds, different, things going on in their life. But you're going to see the commonality that comes out of it, though, also. And this account here really amazes me, because when you go back and you look at each one, you look at the first one, you think about the Ethiopian eunuch. He was reading God's Word. He was trying to understand it. He wanted to understand who this prophet was talking about. Was he talking about himself, or was he talking about some other man? But he was seeking after something, and he kind of had that in mind. He was seeking after something. But then when you go to last week and you look at Saul was a little different in what happened with him, because I don't think on his road to Damascus, the road that he was on, that he was actually seeking for the Lord. He was seeking to do what he felt was the Lord's will. He thought he was in God's will. He thought that he was doing God a favor by seeking out those that are of this way, this new way, this way of Christianity that had kind of been, I guess, sweeping this area. And it caught their attention. It caught a lot of people's attention. When you read the book of Acts, it caught them a lot of attention, because it was a change. We're leaving this dispensation of law and trying to follow the law, its dietary restrictions, and the black and white of the law versus now this time of grace. And that was very hard for these people to understand. And they really kind of counted it as being blasphemy, and that it was against God. That's how they looked at it. So you go from the eunuch into Saul not looking for it, but then all of a sudden he got it anyway. The Lord sought him out. It's kind of interesting. I want you to know this, that it's the Lord that does the seeking you out. The Bible tells us that we're none righteous, no, not one, and that we're all out of the way, and we none seek after him. Isn't that something? I think about that a whole lot. I think about the day that I got saved, and I felt like I was seeking out the Lord, but I didn't seek him out until he first sought me out that I realized that he had something that I needed. Does that make sense? Sometimes I guess it's like this. You don't know what you don't know. You just really don't. And I think sometimes we have an idea of things that we might need. We look at life and say we need these things or what have you. But the Lord really truly knows what we need versus kind of our mentality of what we need. And it might be something completely different than what we would have picked out for ourselves. And I find that very, very interesting and amazing. And I say all that to say we're kind of in that situation here because Cornelius, to me, he's a Gentile. He would be like you and me, a Gentile person. He didn't have the law. He didn't have the oracles of God. He didn't have those things. You know, the Jewish people, they really held on to that tradition. We are God's people with God's word, and you better listen to us. And this is the way we do it. Now you look at the Gentiles. Poor Gentiles. They're pagans, unbelievers, barbarians. A lot of the negative words and adjectives that you hear in God's word were about you and me, the Gentile. Dogs even. Isn't that something? Some people are really good to their dogs though. But in the Bible that was a bad term and what it was talking about and how the Gentiles, they had nothing. Had nothing to look forward to. Had nothing to really believe in. They were taken in so many gods and paganism, just a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and that's kind of what they made their religion. That's a sad place to be, but you know, that's where a lot of people are today. They'll take a little maybe of something good or maybe something that they heard that they like, and they make a religion out of that. And they don't fully know what they believe or what they need. But what's very interesting here, what I find about Cornelius, is that he had a good heart. He had a moral heart. I kind of count this the moral man's battle. I think I preached along those lines before, but you know, sometimes reaching out to a moral person can be a hard thing to do because in their mind they're already doing the good. They're already good. They're doing these things that they see believers do, and they think, well, we're just the same. Matter of fact, I might be giving more than the self-proclaimed believer, or might be doing more, helping more, whatever the best way to describe that would be. In their mind, they might even really actually be doing more. So by their works, they're thinking they're gaining more favor with God because they're actually doing more than the self-proclaimed believer. Now, it'd be hard to reach somebody like that because they would look at you and say, well, I'm already doing more than you. What else is there? What else more do you want from me? I try to be faithful in doing things. I try to be faithful in my prayer life. I try to be faithful in my giving life. So what else more do you want from me? But you know, I want to say this. Now you might find yourself this morning in a position that you feel like you're doing all the right things, but still yet there's an emptiness. I've been there before. I've felt what that's like. It's like you've kind of mapped out things, you found things in God's Word that says you need to be doing these things, but at the same time, in doing those things, you might not just be fulfilled in and of itself. Now, why is that? Why is that? I think that's interesting. I think we can find some answers to that question this morning, but the title this morning is, what is it, Lord? What is it? What is it? This is interesting. We'll start again, Acts chapter 10. We'll read verses 1 through 8. And we'll go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started. I find a lot in this scripture this morning. Probably a lot of reading, but I want to lay the foundation for us. And it says here in verse number 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God, and with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, He called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them and waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them unto Joppa. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for all your many blessings. Just the privilege to be here this morning. God, so thankful for those who have not been able to be here for some time, to be here, Lord, the privilege to be here. God, we just thank you so much for them. We thank you for the faithfulness, Lord, and those that are here with us today. Lord, we just pray, God, and ask that you would help them in the way, Lord, that only you can. Lord, I don't know everyone's heart. It's not for me to know that. I don't know everyone's need, God, and maybe it's not for me to know that. But God, I just pray that you will help, because I know, Lord, that you know what every need is. God, you know what it is. You know what might be lacking. God, you know what change might need to take place, or what forgiveness might need to take place, God. But whatever it may be, God, what that person is looking for today, God, I pray that you supply it to them this morning, Lord. That those that are here that are lost, God, I pray through the preaching of these conversions, God, through the preaching of the gospel, that is the power unto us who believe to become the sons of God, Lord. God, I pray you do a mighty work here today in these hearts, in the hearts of your people, God, in the hearts of those that are here today. God, I just pray you move. And Lord, I just ask that your will be done. Lord, take me, use me. God, my heart, my mouth, Lord, help me to have clear speech, God. Just help us here today. Keep heads round about us. Be with us, Lord. We're going to give you all the praise and all the glory for everything that takes place, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You see, in these first 8 verses, we kind of have an outline, or kind of have an introduction to what's taking place. You've seen some different scenarios here, but you found some common ground, though, too, I believe. What you've seen is the Spirit of God guides the man of God with the Word of God. And it's been that way through every one of these accounts, every one of these occasions. It's not somebody just doing something of their own accord, and it's not even just been the one who's receiving the Word. It's been the one who's supplying the Word. Each one of these prophets, each one of these people got to see the work of God in their life. They themselves had to step out on faith before the non-believer had to step out on faith. You see, you got to remember, this is a transitional time where just right after the Gospels and how it was set up there, that the Jewish people were to go into their house first, into the house of the Israelites first. And that was understandable. That was okay. It's easy. When we look at each other, we say, hey, I want to witness to people like me, or stay around people like me. That's easier. People I can associate with, maybe, or something like that. But what is happening here is now they're leaving the house of Israel, and Jesus is saying, now you go out to whosoever will. This is after the Jewish people had denied their king openly, and now it's a for whosoever will gospel. And you know what was kind of interesting about that? In the back of the Jewish people's minds, these teachers' minds, these prophets, these disciples' minds, they're saying, I just don't think that's the case. You know, they had to see it firsthand. They're going to say, I don't know about that. I don't think these dogs, these people, these other people who are pagan or what have you, I just don't think they can receive the Holy Spirit. See, they're way down here. They're not like us. They're not like God's people. They're kind of down here. And they didn't believe that they could receive the Word of God. But you have Cornelius here. You know, the first few times that I read this, I thought, you know, maybe Cornelius was saved. Maybe he was saved and his house was lost and he was trying to get his house saved. Well, how did he get saved? And if he got saved, then why didn't he share that with his house? Why didn't he give them a testimony? You see, he was praying, but he didn't know what he needed. Isn't that something? He knew something was lacking. He was doing the things, but it wasn't fulfilling on the inside. It's easy to do something because somebody else does it. It's easy to follow a tradition. It's easy to kind of look and see what people do, what they say, and as in Rome, do as the Romans. That's kind of fitting here. Cornelius was a Roman. You just kind of do what everybody else does so you fit in. You know, that's a thing. But just because you do something outwardly doesn't mean that a work has taken place inwardly. That's a very important thing that you need to see here, because what he's saying is what he had here. He was praying. You know, well, how was Cornelius praying? He was doing all that he knew how to do. But he had not yet received the Spirit of God. He was praying. He was praying. And he was giving. He was giving alms. That's what alms is giving to the poor. He was doing those things that people in the church are supposed to do. The things that the church is supposed to do, he was doing it and he was praying. You say, well, what's the problem? He didn't have it on the inside. But you know who caught that? It came up before the Lord. It came up before God as a memorial. See, God saw what was taking place. You see, you could say that his heart was in the right place or what have you. See, Cornelius was kind of going through the motions, not even trying to be fake or anything like that. He was doing all that he knew to do. He wanted to do good, but he was still lacking. And see, that's what's kind of difficult with a moral person sometimes. Say, well, I'm trying. I want to do good. I'm trying. My heart, we hear that a lot. My heart's in the right place. But you see, he was praying these prayers and he was doing these things, but he himself was not born again of God. Isn't that something? I'm telling you this morning, had he passed away at this time, he would not have been in heaven. That's what I'm telling you this morning. But yet he was doing all the things. He was praying. God even heard it. God heard and saw what he's doing. But I want you to hear something this morning. If you're here and you're lost, you can't be a prayer warrior. Life doesn't just go on for the lost person like the saved person. It's not like that a lost person has the ability to go into the Father and to the throne room and start asking petitions of God. Except for one, Lord, save me a sinner. Save me a sinner. That's where it starts. For the lost person, that's the one prayer that you have. But you see, God in his mercy, he looks down at Cornelius and he's saying, look, he's trying to do the right things, but he needs to learn something. He needs to know something. You see, when we do things for the right reasons or we have our hearts in the right place, God can have mercy on us even though we're not a believer. That's what you're going to see here with Cornelius. He was doing these things. You think about this. Had God not reached out the way and the manner that he did, what would that have meant not only for Cornelius, but for his family? He would have a family of do-gooders without substance in the heart. That's not good, is it? You could have a whole generation of people, a whole church of people doing the things without receiving God in their heart. Now, how sad is that? You see, God intervened in his mercy. It's amazing. I want you to know, whatever it is that you're seeking this morning, whether it be salvation, whether it be a hollowness that you have in your heart, whatever it is, I promise you the Lord will make that known to you and he'll supply it to you. Now you're going to have to accept it. You have to reach out and you have to take it. That's the part about a gift. There's the first part of the one who's giving it. The second part is you have to be willing to take it. You have to be willing to accept it. And so when you see kind of how it all comes together, and when he looked at verse number 4 again, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? See, this angel came before him. He was praying and he was afraid. He said, what is it, Lord? What is it? I believe I can see here. He's saying, Lord, I'm doing what you'd have me to do, but what is it? What's the problem? And he's saying here, I'm going to send some help to you. I'm going to send somebody that can help you and tell you what you need to do. That's the one person that I'm looking for if I'm in trouble. The one person that can help me. Maybe the second. I go to my mom because she'll take my part. She'll try to make me feel better. Then I'll go look for help because mom will take my part no matter what, right? I mean, what a blessing that is. You kind of see how that is. But he was praying. But he was lacking, even though in and of his prayer, and he didn't even know it. He said, Lord, what is it? He didn't say, I need somebody to come and do this for me and for my family. He didn't even know what he needed. He just knew he needed something. Isn't it amazing how God heard that? God saw that. And God was willing to send somebody to help him. I'm serious. I want you to know this morning, whatever it is that you feel you're lacking or what you're looking for, if you go seeking after it with the right open heart, God will send somebody to you to help you. And if you're the one that's being sent, be prepared to listen to what God is telling you to do. It might sound crazy to you. You might be driving down the road sometime and see somebody off the side of the road and the Lord say, stop and talk to that person. Do it. What do I say? He'll give you what to say. Just do it. Some of the biggest blessings in my life and miracles in my life is something that just completely unexpected that God orchestrated that I had no knowledge about. But after it's all said and done, you say only God could do that, because even I didn't know that was going to happen. But you see, now I want you to see this in verses 9 through 20. We see the other side. This is that human element side again. This is where God is sending somebody. And Peter was not an easy person to deal with. We know that. See a lot about Peter in the Bible. I think he probably represents a great deal of people, maybe a great deal of us, who get stubborn about things, set in our ways about things. We're going to do things this way continually, but what if God says do it another way? Should we not listen to that? If we've only learned so much up to a place in our life, and then God illuminates His Word and shows us something else that we need to apply, should we not also apply that? Amen. We're always going to be learning. We're never going to know it all. We're not. And that's what's one of the things that's exciting to me about God's Word and living a life for God, is you don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know what He's going to do next or how He's going to respond. And look at this. This is like something written out of a novel or something. This is how he got Peter's attention, verses 9 through 20. It says, on the morrow they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, kind of doing what he would do. He'd go to pray. He became very hungry, and he would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. The Lord placed him into a trance. See, in this time, God spoke to people in diverse ways, different ways and diverse manners unto the prophets. But in these last days, where we're at now in grace, He speaks to us through His Son. He speaks to us through His Word. But see, this is how He got His attention here. See, the Bible wasn't complete yet. Peter couldn't just go to the Bible and say, what do I need to do? The Lord was speaking to him directly. He became very hungry, and I think the Lord used that. He gives us some illustration here. He gives us some things here. He was hungry, he was ready to eat, but he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open and a certain vessel ascending unto him, and it had been a great sheet knit four corners and let down to the earth. Now I'm telling you, that's like what you would see in a dream. Like, what is this? Like a sheet falling out of the sky, coming down to the sky. What is this all about? I think it probably caught his attention. Something kind of miraculous like that. I mean, it would be something, if you saw that, you'd have to stop and say, what's this about? I'd say it would get your attention. And wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. That is things that a Jewish person would not eat. You think about this is what would be considered maybe the post-law diet, but that's not what you would eat under the law. Remember, Peter's Jewish. Remember, he sees this and he's like, oh, that's all the things that we're not supposed to eat. If he was thinking about the law and what those things represented, as they come down, he'd say, those are the things that we do not touch. We stay away from those things. And so in his mind, you think he's human just like you and me. In his mind, he's trying to figure out, what is this all about? So he sees these things coming down, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. That's just a straight contradiction of what he had been taught his entire life. Why am I seeing this, and why am I hearing this voice from heaven telling me to do something that I know I'm not supposed to do based off the law? Why? What is going on? See, this is how it's just playing out. But look at Peter, his faithfulness to what he believed. You think about Saul, how devout he was in his way. Look at Peter being here. He said, but Peter said, not so, Lord, capital L. He told the Lord, no. Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common nor unclean. He said, I'm not going to do that. Maybe he thought the Lord was testing him. He knew he was hungry. Maybe he felt the Lord was testing him to see if he would mess up. Maybe he'd do something he wasn't supposed to do, but the Lord was telling that, and he knew who was talking to him. It's not that it was somebody else, or he thought it was somebody else. He gave him the subscription here. He gave him that it was the Lord. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. This happened three times. and that was received up into heaven. God said, what I have called clean, don't you call unclean. Who do you think you are as a person to say contrary to what God has to say in his word? That's what he's saying. And you notice this? How many times did he tell it? It's three times, wasn't it? Let's see, that's one of the things they say when you're really trying to teach somebody something. Tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. Peter was like that. What happened? What was one of the last conversations he had with the Lord? Do you love me? He didn't ask him once. He didn't just ask him twice. He asked him three times. I think Peter's starting to see the pattern here. I'm trying to get you to understand. Remember this? Remember that first conversation we had, Peter, when I did this three times? Do you love me? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. That was the response later on. This was done three times. But then verse 17, now while Peter doubted in himself that this vision which he had seen would mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter sought on the vision, while he thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. You see how God's timing is amazing. Peter's trying to figure this thing out in his head, and about that same time, these people are here to see you. You better go see what they need. All this stuff is going to start making sense to you if you'll just keep following. Isn't that amazing how God works on both ends like that? He's amazing. How somebody can pray for something and God can send somebody to help them. It's amazing how he can do that and how he does that. But the question still arises, what is needed? What is needed? See, Peter didn't know what was needed. Why are you asking for me? That's what you see here in verses 21 through 23. It says, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and he said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause whereof ye are come? Why are you here? Why did you come to see me? What do you need? So that's an important thing to ask somebody. I'd ask you this morning. Not that you would answer me, but you would answer the Lord in your heart with honesty. You'd say, Lord, what do you want me to take from this message? Lord, what do I need to do at this time of my life? What do you want from me? You see, he's ready to give an answer. That's what Peter's asking here. He said, what did you come here for? It's a very important question that needs to be asked. I think it's a good question for pastors, for mentors, disciples that are trying to teach people and help people. Ask people, what do you need? What do you need? I don't think fully Cornelius knew exactly what he needed at this point. But this is what he said here. And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into this house, into his house, to hear the words of thee. Now, Peter's probably thinking, I've got to prepare something. Well, what do they want to hear? That's one of the things Sister Holly used to make me the most nervous when somebody said, hey, would you come do a talk for us? My first question is, what do you want me to talk about? I'm not afraid to talk to you, but it's going to be awkward unless I know what you want to talk about. So I think all this stuff is kind of playing in Peter's mind on the heels of what he just saw, what he's trying to figure out with the trance, the vision that he just saw. He's starting to try to put these things together, knowing that this was a Roman centurion. He was a Gentile that he come to see here. Why am I here to see a Gentile? They don't even get the gospel. Why am I here? What do you want from me? I can see Peter just trying to figure this out. They said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, had good report with the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear the words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and a certain brethren from Joppa accompanied them. So they're coming together. Everything's come together. You see the first part there, verses 1 through 8 took about a day. This right here took about a day, and now we're about the third day into it. About a three-day thing. That's kind of how this is turning together. But verses 24 through 33, interesting things happen here. It says, in the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and called together his kinsmen and his near friends. He called together those working with him and his friends and his family. He called everybody together. Help us here. Help us on the way. I've been praying. I want to know what the Lord would have for us, but I don't know. But I want you to listen. I want you to have an open heart. I want you to have an open mind. I want you to come here and listen. This is special. This is something that God has sent to us specifically. I saw this from an angel. The Lord has sent help for us. And Peter was coming in. Cornelius met him and fell to his feet and worshiped him. Well, that's not good, is it? He thought that was just his help right there. He fell down and started worshiping Peter. There's a lot of men today that would love that. A lot of men today that would accept that and expect that. If you see it on TV, a lot of that kind of stuff that's going on, you see that. But I like what Peter did here. But Peter took him up saying, "Stand up. I myself am just a man. I'm a man also. Stand up. Don't embarrass me and yourself either. Get up. Now, I got some help for you, but it's not me. It's not me." He's being honest and where his help is coming from. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. I like that. There's many that took interest in what was to be said, what was to be learned. Boy, that's a blessing. You know, I've said this before. I get more encouraged with a house full than I get nervous or what have you with the house full than you think, well, maybe a smaller crowd would be easier. You know, I like the house full. That means people want to hear about God. That's what this is all about. It's not about comedy and all that kind of stuff. It's not about entertainment. It's about surrounding around God's Word and the Gospel and getting people help. And that's what will help you today. See, Cornelius didn't know exactly what he needed. But you see, the Lord was putting this all together. Look what happens here, verse 28. "And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew, Peter, to keep the company or come in one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." He's starting to understand what that vision meant. He's starting to say, now, this isn't just about the Jewish people. It's not just about the Gentile people. We're now a whosoever people. What a blessing it is to be able to say that this morning. Just know, if it wasn't, we wouldn't have been included. They wouldn't have been here. This wouldn't have been in the Bible if it didn't count for you and I also. Verse 29 says, "Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore, for what intent have you sent for me?" He still wanted, what do you want to hear? What do you want to hear? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, he's just honest. He's just telling him exactly how it happened. 4 days ago now, "I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing." I was praying, and here come this man. "And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee." Now look what happens. It's like now we're at the climax of this. Everything is coming together. Peter's saying in his heart, in his mind, I now see what I'm supposed to do. And it's all starting to come together. And in verse 33, look at what it's saying right here. He said, "Immediately therefore I sent unto thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of thee." We want to hear. This is how we're supposed to come to church, by the way. I guess that'd be a side message. That's how we're supposed to come to church. You pray for the man of God that he would deliver what God would have for you, and then you come ready to listen to it. That's good, isn't it? Amen, it's good. I like it. That's my favorite thing, to hear the Word of God preached when the Lord speaks to my heart through His Word. I know it's Him, and I know it's not somebody else. Now it gets even better right here. You look at these last few verses 34 through 43, and it says, "And Peter opened his mouth, and he said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." He's not here just to help some of you. He's here to help every single one of you. Whoever's willing to accept it, he's here to help you. His hand's reached out to you. All you have to do is reach out and take his hand back. That's what he's saying. There's no big I's or little U's and nobody that cannot be reached. "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is the Lord of all. I think Peter's almost having a little revival here in and of himself. Verse 37, that word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began in Galilee after the baptism which John preached, that was the baptism of repentance, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. You see what he's going into here without even making a big proclamation about it? You see what he's going into? If you ever want to witness to somebody, just do this. Go straight into this. Go straight into this. Go straight into the gospel. We talked about that in Sunday school. How would you witness to somebody? Go straight into the gospel. You can't go wrong sharing the gospel. What he did for you. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost, with power. Went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He was telling them about the Gospels, what Jesus did as he went through all these places, healing the sick, giving the sight to the blind, being able to make the lame to walk, doing all these things and casting out devils. This is what he did. This is what he said. You know, in their minds, this is something else. All these things that we thought we were believing in and we thought was all right, all these different gods, and now you're just saying there's just one Jesus that can heal everything? He said, yes, it gets better. It even gets better than that. And it says here, verse number 39, and we are witness of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. They killed this man for you. They put him on a cross for you. They didn't believe in him. The Jews forsook him. I'm a witness of this. He said this, and we are witnesses. I'm not just telling you something I heard. I'm telling you what I saw. I saw it happen for myself. He just laid it out there for them. Give them the gospel. Plainly giving them the gospel, saying, you know what? He went to that tree, and he died for your sins. But guess what happened? Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. So not only did he die for your sins, the Lord raised him up from the dead. And what was it? Some 500. It was a lot. I'd have to go back and look. Some 500 witnesses saw him after his death. So nobody could deny it. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a myth. It happened. It happened for you. It happened for me. That's what it was all about. And how the Lord brought this together. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even unto us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Not only that, I got to have supper with him. I got to be with him right after that. And he commanded us to preach in the gospel and to the gospel. You remember how the gospel ended up? You go back to Matthew and to preach the gospel unto all the earth, even unto the ends of the earth. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. He's putting emphasis all right back on Jesus. Putting everything back on him. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sin. Whosoever. You think, when you look at this, you think Cornelius was expecting all this? He didn't know what he was lacking. But the man of God made it plain through the Spirit of God delivering him and sending him there to do this. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. You see, acceptance started taking place. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, they thought that was just for them. Those Jewish people, those Jewish converts that were standing by, they were now seeing the lowly Gentiles experiencing the same thing that they were. I'll tell you this, Cornelius couldn't have expected all of this, because even the Jewish people delivering the message didn't expect it either. You see, that's one thing to take note of. When God sends you, you don't fully know exactly the outcome that he's wanting on the other end. I tell you, we serve a big God this morning. It's amazing how he does all these things and how he can use somebody like us if we're willing to do that. But the Holy Ghost was poured out on them. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter. I want to stop right there for a second. What's this thing about tongues? You know, that's been misconstrued many times over. And I'm not afraid to hit the nail on the head with it. That ain't some kind of gibberish. It's not. It's people being able to speak in other languages through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. People heard the gospel on the day of Pentecost. People heard the gospel in their own language. That would be like me right here, Brother Tony, you hearing me speaking in English, and if we had somebody here that spoke in Spanish, they'd hear it in Spanish. Amen. It's that simple. Don't complicate it. The stuff you see on TV, I say don't be afraid of it, but don't buy it. It's just a bunch of gibberish, and if people get mad, just get mad. It's just what the Word of God says about it. I'll take what the Word of God says over any kind of thing like that. What to take away here from is what I want you to take away from this is at this point, these devout Jews who had recently been converted were just now seeing and understanding that this truly is a whosoever gospel. Amen. That the Word of God can reach anybody. There's nobody too bad or anything like that. There's nothing like that. It's a whosoever gospel that can reach anybody. And that's what he's saying here. And we go on down. I'm getting ready to close with this church. And look what happens. You're going to see a commonality here. If you followed along the last 3 weeks, you're going to see a commonality. Even from three different people, three different conversions, you're going to see how this thing's come together. The Word of God was preached. People believed on the only begotten Son of God. And then afterwards, they were baptized. Boy, what a series to preach before baptism coming up in a few weeks. And it says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Just like we received them, they've received them. Let's baptize them too. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the way the Gospels were left out, or left off, if you remember. And you're seeing here, they're actually seeing it come together and actually taking place. What I've called the Wild West of the beginning of the church and how it's all forming and coming together. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then prayed they him to tarry for certain days. They wanted to hear more. They wanted him to stay. You see, what this is talking about here is how God works in conversion. I just want you to understand that and know that. Maybe this is coming kind of to the end of the series here, whatever, but the Bible gives us these things for a reason. That we can take it, we can know it, and we can trust it. The first thing I submit to you this morning, any kind of work that's being done, any kind of testing that's being done, any kind of work, study, whatever, you first have to believe that the Word of God truly is the Word of God. Do you believe that this morning? And if this is the Word of God, do we not believe that what it says is true? That this is how it happens. This is how it's supposed to take place. And I'm not being mean this morning, but I see nothing here that says of infant baptism. Do you? You'll never find a conversion in the Word of God that is based off of infant baptism. You'll never find it. It's not in there. It's not God's way. You won't find anything here that's mentioned about a time of confirmation. I can't go to a person and say, hey, you're X amount of years old. It's time for you to get saved. Say these words. That is not how it works. You don't know how many times I remember. This is probably where I saw it the most. And I could say that somebody, that maybe they meant well, but they should have known better. Any man of God should know better than to do this. I've seen people, when I worked in law enforcement, they'd go to the jails and they'd go to places who people just recently got arrested for murder. And they'd go back in there and they'd say, hey, you need the Lord to say this prayer. You know how hyped up on emotion people are in a situation like that? Oh, yeah, let's do that. You know, that's just not how it works. Each one of these conversions, look what happened. The Holy Spirit is the one who did the work. The Holy Spirit is the one who did the orchestration. Every single bit of it. Not at one point did the man of God get out in front of the Holy Spirit. Not one time. And say, I tell you what, this is what you need to do. Never one time. Matter of fact, you look back on Ananias, he's like, Lord, you might want to get somebody else. I've heard of Saul. He is reluctant. Was Peter reluctant? He's reluctant too. I think Philip might have been one of the ones that was maybe a little bit most excited. But you see how the Holy Spirit works. He works on the inside out. That's what I want to leave with you this morning. This is the question that Cornelius asked. He asked there in verse number 4. This is what started all of this. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up before a memorial before God. I want you to know this morning, whatever's been on your heart, whatever you've been praying about, if it's for salvation, if you're lost, I pray this that the Lord would show you that this morning. He would make that just plain to you this morning. You might be here this morning. It could be something else. It might be a time that you want to return to the Lord, rededicate your life to the Lord. Say, I don't know. I'm not trying to fill out words here. I'm not trying to fill in the blank for you. I just want you to know whatever your need is, what is it, Lord? He's got the answer for you this morning. If you will, stand with me. I appreciate your wonderful attention. I'll ask the ladies if they will to come.